Welcome back to Navigating Postpartum Wellness Podcast, where motherhood and wellness meet faith, presence, and honest conversations. From Navigating Postpartum Wellness Media, we unpack the real work of motherhood beyond the highlight reels. I'm your host, Dre Williams, writer, founder of Navigating Postpartum Wellness Media, and a mom of two. This space is for every mom who's carrying the weight of expectations but choosing to build softer, sustainable rhythms of wellness. Together, we'll talk about the inner work, breaking cycles, finding balance, and leaning into God's vision for your life. Because you're not just raising kids, you're raising the standard of living. If you have ever felt overwhelmed but deeply called to more, you're in the right place. Let's dive in. Welcome back to another episode of Navigating Postpartum Wellness with me, Dre Williams. Thank you for joining in. And today we have a special guest today. I'm so excited to have her on. Today's conversation is especially important for the generation of women quietly navigating two major life transitions at once. More women than ever are having their first babies in their late 30s and 40s, and while they're learning how to care for a newborn, many are also beginning to experience early hormonal shifts associated with perimenopause. That overlap can feel confusing, isolating, and often overlooked, but I'm joined today by Lauren, a millennial mom, a clinical therapist, and author of the upcoming book, which is now out, and we'll talk a little bit more about it, Millennial Menopause. Her work explores the emotion and physical intersection between perinatal life and perimenopause, including symptoms like sleep disruption, mood changes, and shifts in identity, and how women can feel supported and empowered through both seasons. At our core here, we believe wellness should be rooted in wisdom, compassion, and stewardship, not pressure, shame, or pushing the body beyond what it needs. So I'm so excited for this conversation. This is a new aspect in Navigating Postpartum Wellness, and let's welcome Lauren on. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Of course. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm ready to dive into this topic, which is near and dear to my heart for my friends, my clients, my community, and I know for you too.
Yes. So let's jump in. So Lauren, for those who are new to your work, can you share a bit about your background as a clinical therapist, a mom, and what led you to explore this overlap between motherhood and perimenopause?
Absolutely. So like you mentioned, my name is Lauren Tettenbaum. I am a New York-based licensed clinical social worker, although I'm also licensed in New Jersey, Connecticut, and Florida. I'm a former lawyer who has always been passionate about women's rights, women's health, and I have been in private practice as a psychotherapist for several years, focusing primarily on women in their 20s and 30s, navigating anxiety, depression related to identity shifts, new careers, new relationships, and then, of course, the perinatal period. I'm a mom. My kids were born in 2016 and 2018. And as I was approaching my 40s, I realized I knew very little about what was coming next, which turned out was perimenopause. And the more I learned, the more I realized how much this is a reproductive health issue. This is an issue that helps or that affects women who are moms in their late 30s, early 40s. And it's something that isn't talked about, but needs to be.
Yes. And I love how you had different transitions in your life, as you mentioned, and just how identity shifts, because identity is always shifting as you go through different seasons in life. So I love that you mentioned even in your own personal life, you had different seasons. And now you're like, I had different seasons. You're learning identity shift. And now you're also like talking about perimenopause. Oh, it's like all goes intersected together. So that plays a big factor in that. And I'm like, wow, like... Yeah. That's why I was like, I heard you say identity shifts to talk about perimenopause, so many things. So in your book, you highlight that more millennial women are becoming mothers later in life. Why do you think that? And why do you think this conversation is becoming more urgent now?
So I think women are having children later in life for a variety of reasons, whether it's their first kid or their fourth. I think the pressure to build your career before you have kids is very present. I think with the welcome growth of scientific resources that we have when it comes to IVF and other methods of family planning, women are saying, okay, I don't need to have a baby, you know, at 23. I can delay it if I'm fortunate enough to have those resources and access to that healthcare. And so they do utilize that science. But when you have kids in your late 30s, early 40s, it comes with a roller coaster of physical and emotional issues that you may not have expected because, again, no one really talks about perimenopause and menopause.
Yes. And before I ask you what exactly is perimenopause to help mothers, something I've noticed too, as you mentioned that, is like, you know, having a lot of women are having children later on in their 30s and 40s. I see it like glamorized on social media as well. Like people glamorize having the kids, but they don't talk about the aspects, how it impacts them too as well. And so I think this conversation is very much needed because you'll see people are having kids 40s, sometimes 50s, and you're like, oh, wow. Like you just started your family and that's amazing. But then you're also like, how does that work? You know, because your body changes with that as well. So with that said, can you tell us a little bit more about like perimenopause and the symptoms and like what to expect? Like give us the whole spiel of it.
Absolutely. And it's my pleasure to define these terms because honestly, when I first started my research, I didn't know what they meant. And I'm very well educated. I'm very passionate about these topics. And I thought, well, if I don't know anything, what about everyone else? So menopause, which many of us are familiar with that term, we know it as the end of fertility. We think of hot flashes. We tend to think of older women. But in fact, menopause is defined as the moment or the day that a woman reaches 1 year of no periods absent any other health reason. And in the years leading up to that time, that's called perimenopause, during which our hormones, primarily estrogen and progesterone, are fluctuating and going up and down like a roller coaster, which tends to cause the symptoms that we think of when we think, oh, I'm menopausal, and also a whole host of symptoms that we don't think of because we don't know about, like mood shifts, itchy skin, and a variety of issues that I explain in my book.
Yes. By the way, I did read your book. I have not finished it yet because mom life, but it's really great read. You all, like, millennial menopause is very needed, especially in today's time and how things are changing. Like, you just want to make sure that you are aware of what's going on with your body because that's where it starts. And so then with that, you've said both postpartum and perimenopause are deeply vulnerable seasons. Mm-hmm. What makes these transitions emotionally tender for women?
A whole variety of reasons. Obviously, biologically, our hormones are all over the place. Postpartum, if you're the birthing parent, your estrogen just totally drops. And then external things going on, like the lack of sleep, that is a huge factor in our mental health and our physical health and our whole sense of being for both the postpartum woman and typically the perimenopausal woman, because she is generally often having sleep disruptions. Our moods tend to shift. We know about the baby blues that many women experience in the postpartum period, but a lot of people don't know that up to 1 in 5 women experience a perinatal mood and anxiety disorder. So that's not just postpartum depression, although that's very prevalent. It's also perinatal OCD or a rise in anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I see that all the time. And then when you learn that 70% of women experience mood shifts and symptoms during perimenopause, and you think, well, if how many women are both postpartum and in perimenopause, they must be really having a difficult time navigating their mood, their mental health, their emotional well-being, and they often don't realize what's going on biologically.
Yes. And how would a mom notice, like, if she's a new mom, she's already in postpartum, and then if she's having signs of perimenopause, like, how would she go about that? Like, would you go to your OB when you do your checkup? Would you mention it then? Or how would they navigate that?
So, yes, with the caveat that many doctors aren't trained in perimenopause. Most healthcare providers get about 1 hour of training. It's usually like an optional lunch and learn. That's changing because women are demanding better care. But I have heard many women say that they've gone to their healthcare providers and said, you know, it's been more than a year since postpartum, or I'm just not feeling better. What's going on? And their provider says things like, well, you're too young, or it is just postpartum. And I'm using air quotes because what does that even mean? Right. Whatever it is, you should get support. So it can be really hard to determine what's what, especially since so many of the symptoms overlap, like hair loss, tender breasts, the mood and the sleep shifts, the belly weight gain, you know, could be postpartum or perimenopause, or it could be both. The way to determine what's going on is to track your symptoms, whether you get a period or not, and to talk to a medical and mental health provider and then try different treatment options. Because if you are in perimenopause, there's usually hormone therapy that can be safe and effective for you. And we're actually seeing a lot of OBGYNs prescribe some hormone therapy for postpartum women as well, which makes sense. But in general, you should have the education around what kinds of treatment options are available to you.
Yes, I love that. And then also, I know that postpartum, oh my goodness, PSI, Postpartum Support International, they also have a database that shows where there is providers who are trained to help you with specific aspects of women's health, which I think is awesome. So even if you're unsure about your provider, you can always look on there. Yes. And they have some amazing resources. That's where I got trained for perimenopausal mental health disorders. And I've done a lot of work with PSI, so I'm like, yes, that could be one aspect that can really help moms as well. Absolutely. And then, yes, do you all connect with PSI as well? Like, even with, like, my brain is just
going away. So you're having a brain fog moment. That's okay. We all do.
Yeah. So, like, wait. So, yes, what I was going to say, like, yes, with perimenopause, could that be supported with PSI as well? Or is that, like, a new aspect that's not there yet?
I would say it's not there quite yet, but given my growth in this space of perimenopause, I have been training other mental health professionals through different programs, and PSI, postpartum.net, is a favorite of mine. I give that as a resource to really everyone and anyone.
Yes.
And the Menopause Society is the professional organization for menopause care, and there are increasing opportunities to learn about the overlap and about these reproductive mental health issues. And truly, if anyone has questions or needs referrals, please reach out. I'm happy to point you in the right direction.
Yes, I love that. And I do have one random question too, like with that, with perimenopause and menopause, is there any aspect, like if moms are on like birth control or anything, can that impact perimenopause or anything like that?
Yes. So birth control is hormone therapy. Mm-hmm. It's actually higher dosages than what is typically used in what they used to call hormone replacement therapy, HRT. Now we just really say hormone therapy or menopausal hormone therapy. Birth control is often offered by OBGYNs as a tool in navigating perimenopause symptoms, because women do tend to still need contraception if they want. You absolutely can get pregnant during perimenopause, and that's something to keep in mind.
Wow.
It also can really help with the symptoms. It suppresses your ovarian function, but that means that it makes things kind of even keeled. Personally, I suppose I was 39, I went back on the birth control pill because I didn't like how I was feeling without it, and it really kind of evened out my moods and made me feel good. So that is absolutely a tool in our toolbox. It's not for everyone, but we should be informed about it.
Yes. Thank you. That is an amazing tip. Cause I was like, I wonder how like other moms can navigate with that. And then also in your work, what does sustainable self-care look like during seasons of hormonal change, especially like for women who are already caring for others?
Yeah. So I love this question around sustainable. But I do want to go back to this idea of seasons, and everything is a chapter. And I think the idea of self-care does have to be a permanent fixture in all of our lives. We deserve it. We deserve to find ways to sustain it. But I really believe that every day self-care will look a little bit different.
Yes.
Some days it might mean catching up with friends and laughing. Laughing is huge. Levity, lightheartedness. That's something that I think we should all strive for. But sometimes it means taking a walk outside or an exercise class, or being alone is always a good one. But
yes,
really, I encourage women to ask themselves, what do I need today? And that sort of practice is, I think, what we can sustain.
Yes, I love that because oftentimes people think it has to be like a big gesture when it can be like the small things, because it's more about the habits of doing self-care versus trying to like wait for a big moment for it to happen, because you do need time alone. You do need to find ways to make yourself smile and laugh, like how you mentioned, because things get tough sometimes and you want to make sure that you're taking care of yourself as well. So now my next question, because this is such a great conversation, by the way. I love your insight.
Thank you.
How can women begin supporting emotional balance without feeling like they need to fix themselves?
Yeah, I think this is something we see all the time in American culture. Women are conditioned to not ask for help or to blame themselves when something, quote unquote, goes wrong. And I want to start really there that you're not doing anything wrong if your baby isn't sleeping or you aren't feeling great, getting pressured, going back to work shortly after you had a baby. Like, those are systemic issues and also somewhat to be expected. Like, of course your baby's not sleeping. They're not a robot we can program, you know? So there's a lot of acceptance that needs to happen, and radical acceptance is a therapeutic tool that I talk a lot about. A lot of self-compassion, which is another tool that I use often. And it's really about talking to yourself the way you would a friend, right? Acknowledging something's hard without trying to fix it, but then going back to asking yourself, okay, what do I need right now? Do I need help, whether it's a babysitter or a family friend, whatever it is, a partner taking on the mental load, the logistical labor? What do I need today? And how can I get it? And then start there and remind yourself that everything is temporary. You're not doing it wrong if you need support. We all deserve and need support.
Yes, most definitely. Also, from a mental health perspective, what happens when women don't have language or validation for what they're experiencing? Which kind of connects back to the question I just asked, but that's just...
Women tend to beat themselves up. And of course, we see that play out in terms of mood symptoms, right? The cheeriness, the anxiety, the inability to sleep, the feeling like they always have to be doing something else to be productive. They can't rest. If the depression is bad, then it impacts their daily functioning. Maybe they can't even, you know, get up and out of bed and function in society, or they're not bonding with their baby, or they're withdrawing from their social life. And it doesn't have to be that way. Help is available. And again, to your question, it's hard when you don't have those words, and many women don't, and that's not their fault. But I want to encourage women to know that they aren't alone, even if it feels like it. There's support available. There are the hotlines. PSI has a warm line. There's a maternal mental health hotline. There's online resources, and you don't have to take everyone's advice and direction, but you are in a community. You know, we've got your back. You can listen to podcasts like these and feel hopefully that you are not alone.
Yes. Cause I also think too, it's like comes from like an aspect of perfectionism too, that I hear a lot of moms talk about, like how you have to unlearn what it actually means. Like everything, like your plans are not going to always turn out like how you want them to be. So you have to be able to be flexible and also be transparent enough to ask for help so that you are not carrying all of it on your own.
Yeah. And there's a concept of good enough mothering. And I love that. And not just for moms, for any parent, for any person, right? Is it good enough? And women, again, we're so conditioned to be the high achievers and to not complain, and we don't want to ruffle feathers. And I work with a lot of women to sort of get over that. And it's okay if you need a cheerleader in your corner saying, just make the ask or demand. That's okay.
Yes, most definitely. And just being able to remind yourself that you're working through that every single day. Because I know every day you have to ask yourself, like how you just said, is that good enough? Versus like, is it perfect? And before we close out, what is one piece of advice you'll give to a mom right now who is in postpartum and needs some support or encouragement?
Sure. So it's natural to feel overwhelmed. You are not alone. I always tell my postpartum mamas to take it 1 hour at a time. And I often tell myself that too. And I'm, you know, almost 8 years postpartum. So that's okay. It's okay if you can take it 1 hour at a time. Ask for help. Support is available.
Oh, that's really good. 1 hour at a time. I need to tell myself that.
Yeah, that's okay.
And where can moms get your book, Millennial Menopause?
Wherever books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, indie bookstores. If you go to millennialmenopause.com, it'll have all the links and links to my practice, the counselor, but L-A-U-R for Lauren, which is also my Instagram screen name.
Awesome. So yes, and I'm also going to put it in the description so you can just click and you can get the book. And Lauren, I want to thank you so much for your time and your insight. Like, I'm just like, if you guys could see, she is just glowing and just smiling and just the conversation is just amazing. So I really appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you. Anytime.
Thanks for spending time with me on Navigating Postpartum Wellness. If this episode spoke to you, I'd love for you to leave a review and check out the resources linked in the show notes, from quick wellness guides to my membership community, the Aligned Mama Collective, or better yet, come join me inside the Aligned Mama Collective, a space where moms like you are choosing faith, rest, and presence over hustle. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss a new conversation. And if this episode encouraged you, share it with a friend who might need it too. I'll see you next time.